We're sort of a little bit light on, but I'm not going to labour this and go on too long. I really feel that we just need to understand a little more about what it is to allow the life of Christ to be in us and flow out of us. Now, I've covered a lot of it lately, but my own experience today really threw me in a way. Because you get into a situation and you really want God to shine through. You really do. And I just want to explain the little bit that is probably the most paramount that I'm in my thinking. And I was thinking of other instances, and I was thinking of testimonies I've heard of people that have died and been raised from the dead, and I was thinking of other bits and pieces that had happened in different places and different parts of the world. And you go through all that and you think, God, if it's happening there, it's got to happen here. It's got to. And we've been preaching on, Jesus said, when you go somewhere, you go into the city, heal their sick, cleanse their lepers, raise their dead, and then tell them that I've come in amongst them as the kingdom of God. And it's like, God, we've got to work, as the Bible says, in demonstration of power, demonstration of authority. But at the same time, Jesus worked with he had all that authority, he had all that anointing, he had all that empowerment, because when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, when John said he saw the Spirit descending like a dove as he was baptized in the River Jordan, that was what Jesus was then led into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. He was tempted. He came back out in the fullness of the power of the Spirit, the Bible tells us. And because of that, as he went into the temple, they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, I think it was, and he opened it up and it said, he read the word that's written there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he would have said that with some form of gusto, I guess. Not I guess, but I'm sure, because every eye was fixed on him in the place. He read it as if it meant something. He read it like it was real. He read it like it was a personal testimony, I guess. And it would have been. Are we reading the Bible like that ourselves? Are we looking at the scriptures and seeing ourselves in what God has said there about what we are in him and what he is in us? Are we taking it in a way where we can get up and, I mean, I've said it here so many times, you know, I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and I know I've been born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, and there are scriptures there that I have personally, I've personalized them as I've read them. In fact, when I say that if Ken be in Christ, Ken is a new creature. All of Ken's old life is passed away and all of Ken's new life has become new. And I put that into that sort of thing. Your life, Ken's life, is dead. It says, you are dead. No, you're not, you are dead. Ken's life of his own is dead. And his new life is hidden with Christ in God. So my life now as a child of God is hidden with him. And I take ownership of a lot of that. And I have to. And I've repeated it and I've put it into my own personal, you know, way I've read the Bible for years. And things that I've seen that I've suddenly the Holy Spirit has just opened up. That applies to you. And I'm like, no, it hasn't always been good. Believe me, some of it I've had to do some correcting on. You know, it's like, the Bible does tell us this, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And the Bible tells us if a parent doesn't chastise a child, they hate a child. It's interesting that the scripture puts that there. But not hate as in the sense of despise, but they're just not being diligent in teaching that child to grow up and become a responsible citizen and letting them just go crazy. It has bad connotations down the track. And it's amazing, but God chastises us like we want to as a parent. keep our children walking on the straight and narrow, being polite and knowing right from wrong, etc., etc. And so I looked at the scriptures where who the Lord love, he chastens. I'm going, boy, you must really love me. I get my share. I really do. I get my share. Probably my own fault, but I get my share. But I put it in a way that it's positive. I don't turn around and go, well, Lord, you know, you've got a stick out there and you're trying to beat me. No, it's correctiveness. It's the Holy Spirit guarding, guiding and leading us. It's a break sometimes. It's a caution. It's a, it's just a gut feeling sometimes. I mean, Brad was telling me up when he was up in Sydney last, he was coming, or a while back, he's coming back home from the north side of Sydney and down, either through the tunnel or over the bridge or whatever. And he normally took this road down towards Campbelltown where he was staying at the time. And he sort of thought, I don't feel right about going down there today. I don't know what to do. So he pulled into a car park in a shopping centre. He went into a shopping centre and thought, I'll just go in here for a while and see what's going on. And he hadn't heard any of the news reports, but it was just raining pretty heavily. And as far as he knew, he had this gut feeling, don't go down that road. On the news that night, at the very time Brad would have gone down that road, every car on that road got hit with a falling tree. They were just, everything was just, the whole thing was smashed to pieces. And I remember seeing it on the news down here, and I rang Brad and I said, where are you? And he said, I'm still in the shopping centre somewhere. And I went, oh, okay, so you went shopping on your way home. He said, no, I just had a gut feeling not to go home the way I normally go. And I went, which way do you normally go? And he mentioned the road, I can't remember it now. He says, I usually go straight down such and such a road and then turn up to Campbelltown. I went, that road was just on the news. I said, there's not a car on that road that isn't smashed to bits with falling trees. You know, and he had no idea. And he went and had a look a couple of days later, and it was just one big mess of scrap metal and broken trees and everything. We need to understand that God doesn't just talk to us in fairy stories or head knowledge or whatever. We need to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit in whatever way God chooses to speak to us. It can be many, many ways. And God loves us. Yes, he might caution us. Yes, he might give us a gut feeling not to do a certain thing. But he'll also give us that same gut feeling when we're heading our own silly ways and he doesn't think it's the right way to go. And we can do one of two things. We can respond and go, yeah, let's give this a miss. Or we can, like, you might want to go and reconcile something with somebody with the wrong attitude or whatever, you know? And the Holy Ghost is going, hang on. We need to do things in the way that God would do them. Talking to Rosie today, or not Rosie, to Jesse. Rosie's a kid. I wasn't talking to Rosie. But talking to Jesse, she said, you know, my grandfather had a property in the Philippines that was quite big. He was a farmer. And he was well liked in the whole area. Everyone knew him. He loved God. He was a church guy. But there was one fellow there who was a neighboring farmer that just despised him because he was a Christian and because he was doing really well. And yet the other guy wasn't doing so well. There was issues there. There was problems. And this guy was so antagonistic. And one day, she said, Grandfather was out in the farm just minding his own business, doing what he normally did, and the guy next door shot him, killed him. Now, one of the cousins was quite angry and said, you know, my uncle, it was his uncle at the time, you know, nobody does that to my uncle, we're going to go and sort it out. And they had a family get together. And Rosie said, you know, it was my dad who said, we're not going to kill anyone. We'll let justice take its course and we'll forgive him. And we'll let God be the judge of his life and what he's done. It's not up to us to do it. Now, sometimes we always want our pound of flesh or, you know, we want to get someone back for something. And it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But we don't do that, you know. The Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And if we've got that sort of hardness of attitude and the feeling of the Holy Spirit won't come along and say, don't do that, Ken. He'll come in and just give me a restraint of don't you dare. You know better than that. And there's no voice, there's no speaking. It's just that. Yeah. Take a deep breath, rethink, and start to look at the situation through the eyes of God. Jesus walked in love. He was perfectly motivated by love. It can't be anything else but love because God is love. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which is given to us for one reason, to be an expression of God's love, to be an expression of His grace and His mercy, to be an expression of His compassion. You know how many times, if you read in the Bible, when Jesus saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. He wasn't thinking, oh, not them again. You know, he didn't hear the knock on the door and goes, ah, who's this time? You know, it was a compassionate, and we need to take on the nature of Christ in a way that expresses us in our conduct and our attitude. It's not some hairy, fairy, hyper, strong, spiritual, you know, whatever. Comest thou in with my hummeth? I will giveth you the cuppeth of theeth. You know, we're not doing the old King James nonsense and getting carried away with religiosity. Hi, it's so good to see you. I did that once. The JW's at the door, opened the door. Hi, we're good to see you. But we're Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, I know who you are. Come on in. Well, I kept them for 5.5 hours so they wouldn't annoy my neighbours, number one. And number two, the discussions were amazing. And it was just, you know, interesting to be able to do that. And they were so blown away because they're so used to rebuffs and people telling them where to go. And I learned that just during the previous week by someone else I'd been talking to or listening to. And I thought, I got to try that. They blacklisted my house because they never come back. I saw them walking down the street. And they would get to the, I'd go next door and I'd see them and go, oh, they're coming again. No, they're not. Sometimes they even walked over the street and along and then back down that way so they wouldn't walk across my pathway. But it was quite funny, quite hilarious. But, you know, when you're showing the grace and the love of God, it has an impact. It has an effect. And this is really where we need to learn to develop that, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And it's not easy. I'm not telling you I've got it right. I've still got a few skeletons in the closet that want to raise their ugly head every now and then. I'm still human to one extent, but I am crucifying my life. Like Paul said, he wakes up every day, says, I die daily. And I'm like, how did he do that? You and you find out, let me know, because I'm still struggling with that one, huh? And just having that whole scenario of recognizing that I no longer live to myself, but I live unto God. And I've read that scripture and I've put my name to it. He that is dead no longer lives. So if he is the Ken who is dead no longer lives unto himself, but Ken lives unto God. It's still a process, you know, it's a work in progress. It really is an amazing scenario. And I'm certainly wanting to encourage you just to get that life of Christ that he put in the epistles. Paul just was, that was all Paul's writings, really. Paul wrote to the churches in a corrective measure, as I explained last week. Everything was, he'd preached, I wish was recorded. We don't have, they didn't have VCRs or CDs or anything back in those days, or cassette players or whatever we've used. Reel to reels. I remember when I first started going to church and every sermon was on a reel to reel. And if you didn't have a reel-to-reel, you couldn't listen to it again. So people in the church bought reel-to-reel tape recorders. Big, ugly things. Then cassettes come out and could not believe it. Wow, we can listen to a message in the car now. We can, it's just amazing. But things change, you know. And whatever Paul preached, whatever he said, I guess he reiterated so many times in his letters, and he expressed the heart of what he was saying. And the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write that same Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us when we get born again. Fully dwells in our hearts. Fully takes over. Well, not takes over, but becomes a part of our life. Our spirit man comes alive, and the heart of our life is then where God operates and works through. And it's just amazing. But Jesus didn't leave it at that, because he did tell his disciples, wait, and they were all baptized, of course, when they were with him and with John. But he said, don't go off the rails and don't fire off your handle wrongly. Stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And I'm like, okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. It's tenacious. It's incredible. Most of us have experienced that in our lives. If you haven't, something you need to really seek God for. But it was given not just so we could say, oh, wow, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It was so that we could become. And if you read the book of Acts, everything they became after that Acts 2 experience, and they went forth and ministered boldly, and they went out and shared the life of Christ, and the Lord added daily to the church as many as they could reach to be saved, or such as should be saved. It wasn't a specified amount. It was just, if you were there and you heard it and you received the message of Christ and the message of salvation, you got it. See, even Jesus, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, John, after Jesus' baptism, said, he said, and I saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And sure, he went into the wilderness. Sure, he was tempted, but sure, he came out. And then he expressed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do, to enable me to be and do everything the Father purposed for me. And we get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not so we can have a gooey feeling and feel good and speak in tongues or whatever it is we want to express ourselves. However, it's to the same, follow the life of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is now there to enable me to do and be. And the scripture is quite clear where it says, when we receive at salvation, we receive the person of the Holy Spirit. He comes and abides in us and with us. And the person of the Holy Spirit is there. But at baptism of Holy Spirit, they don't use the definite article T-H-E at every mention of that in the scriptures. It says when you receive Holy Spirit, and the emphasis is on the empowerment, the enabling, and the ability to do and to be. So we don't go out in our own strength, and we don't go out unarmed, and we don't go out unprepared, because it's like today when I went around there. Boy, you know, you don't get time to go and sit and prepare a message. I sat in the car and drove over there and said, God, what do you want done here today? How will it work? What can I do? And I've just had to trust God. In fact, I didn't say anything for the first 20 minutes. I let them just tell me things, you know? And it was from that the Holy Spirit gave me the wisdom that needed to be put into their lives and talk to them about, you'll go through this, you'll walk through it, but the empowerment and the joy afterwards will make this look like it wasn't the trauma you're feeling at the moment. And that's the God we serve. doesn't matter whether we get it wrong, we've got to try. I've got things wrong plenty of times in thinking I'm saying the right thing. I've missed the mark. But, you know, something about that song we just sung. We can miss things completely. We can even be off the rails badly sometimes. And I think of Richard, who we're upholding the service for here tomorrow. He had a life of chaos in a way. He, right from his young age, just was a misfit. Never fitted in. Things never worked out for him. Finances were always up and down, and a struggle, and losing a house or two, and a few other things. His whole life was just one disaster after another in a lot of ways. And he'd come back to God, and he'd go to church. And I only wish I knew what I knew of the Holy Spirit and God now, because I would have ministered to him in a completely different way. I would have, you know. Back then I prayed, God, just give Richard the wisdom, God, da da da. Not taught him who he was in Christ and how to stand in his authority and how to be who God had made him to be. He had no idea of that. But I watched Richard's life for years, and he was up and down and up and down. Every time he was up and going to church, it was fine. And every time he was down, he got into the worst of the worst, you know, scenarios. But that song talked about his life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And Richard experienced that over and over and over again. Regardless of how many times he sort of turned his back on God, God was always like the parable Jesus said. How many of you, having 100 sheep and one is lost, won't secure the 100 and leave them and go looking for the one that's lost? And on the Sunday, 2 weeks ago, Richard was taken to church by his brother David, and he recommitted his life to Christ. He spent the Monday with the pastor, and on the Tuesday he'd gone home to be with the Lord. The sheep that was lost was sought out, found, and returned to the fold. That's the story of so many lives too. God is always faithful. God will always, never renege on his promises, but he'll always work through things with us. We just got to let him. We just got to have that sensitivity developed in our lives to say, man, I don't know what's going on here. Things aren't working out right. There's times when I've felt that. I've looked at scenarios and situations. This is not right. What's going on? I've taken my eyes off the circumstances and I've just turned my back on it. I don't want to know about that. I want to know what you want, Lord. What is it that you can impart to me? What wisdom have you got for me? And I'm telling you, the amount of times I've had an answer and been able to come back and see a situation, see a problem, see what was causing it. It could have been mechanical, or it could have been financial, or it could have been, and you know something, answers were always a resolution. But we've got to take our eyes off things and get them on Jesus. Turn our eyes on Jesus, like it said in that song. Amen? Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your amazing goodness, amazing faithfulness. Thank you for your son Jesus and the gift of life that was poured out because of him, that we can live, be part of, receive, and know. And so today, as we just sit around and share and talk together, I pray the focus of our attention and of our love and our compassion will shine through as you shine through us the way you want to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a thing on here in the park if you want to go and see what's happening. The Seventh-day Adventists are putting on called Calvary. They usually put something on once a year over there that's an expression of their understanding of Calvary, and I think it's good. Next Sunday is Easter, am I right? It is. How would you feel about, we can't go up to the cross because it's still shut off. There's, they started digging out the foundation.